thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 37, 1 through 11. It's so nice to hear the pages of your Bibles turning. Here we go. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. As I'm reading it for everybody, I myself am just convicted. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you would please bless Pastor Jose, and I ask that you would please bless us and just let there be clear communication, that all here would walk away edified. These things I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Micah. A few years ago, friends of my wife and I purchased this beautiful home. It had about 10 acres of land. And I remember when we walked on the property, the home was stunning. But one of the things that our friends told us as we were walking into the house was that at one time, the gardens around this home were spectacular. That the person who originally built the house, their wife was a gardener, and she just did an amazing job. But as they got older, and eventually they sold their house to another owner, this particular set of owners really didn't have the eye or the green thumb, right, in reference of keeping the yard. So by the time our friends bought this house, it was just an overgrown mess. And somebody who knew the original owners came by the house one day and said, if you take your time and you're persistent with the clearing of the removing of the weeds, of trimming down all of the overgrown brushes, right? It's all there, right? So that day, I was there in that house, right? And I don't have a green thumb, right? It's the only thing I know how to do when I see a mess is I remove, right? And I go, let's start with a clean palette, right? But they were insistent. No, right? It's here, right? And so I remember I went into one flower bed and I started weeding, right? And I hate weeding. And here's what I've learned, especially from my own home with weeding, right? It's that it looks like you're not making headway, but if you're persistent, what happens is every time you go out there, it's less and less of it. And then what's supposed to be there is the very thing that maintains the weeds, right? And let me tell you, it's a process that takes time, right? And it's a process that takes work and effort. And if you take your time and you apply the effort, you, just like my friends, was able to just enjoy, right, the vision that the original owners had, because they were beautiful gardens, right? And beautiful places where you would sit under these large manicured trees. And let me tell you, it was hard to picture that, right? When I walked back into that yard and the grass was 3 feet tall, and it's like, what a mess. I say that story because that's what scripture, the very scripture we're going to look at today, in reference to evildoers. I want you to see evildoers as the weeds that you have to and God has to pluck out. And it might not look like you're making headway. It might not look like you're getting ahead of it. But then there's going to be a day where all of a sudden it's all gone. And the only thing you have to do is just maintain it and enjoy it. As long as you don't let it get out of control, right, you'll be able to enjoy it. But it takes work and effort. And sometimes I have to admit, I don't want to, exert the effort. I don't want to put the time in. I want God to take care of it. Okay, and then let me enjoy it. And here's the thing that I've learned from God's point of view, right? He's not going to do for me what I need to do for myself, right? And that's just how it is. Right, so as we look at this psalm, like the psalm we looked at last week, right, this also follows an acrostic pattern, right? And the acrostic is the Hebrew alphabet, right? This is much shorter. It's only 40 verses, but we're only going to go through 11 of the verses and just summarize the other verses that we have today. And one of the things that it starts off with, right, do not fret, right? Do not fret, right? Don't worry. Don't spend any time lamenting over what seems to be out of control, what seems to be, right, overgrown in its efforts as the evildoers seem to get away with things. They get ahead and you don't get ahead. Whatever your weed is in your life, Right? This psalm wants us to have a perspective, right? And that perspective is that if you are with God and He is with you, they don't win, right? And to that, we should say amen, right? They don't win, right? They don't win, right? So we are going to look at this psalm. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Right? Here's what he says. Don't worry about it. Don't fret over evildoers. And this particular psalm is what we would call a wisdom psalm. This is a psalm that you should have in your arsenal for meditation when you're spending time with God. Like when you find yourself upset because of somebody else, of what they're doing, and you think, and they think they're getting away with it, you should have this psalm ready, right? And all of a sudden you open up to that first verse, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious. In other words, don't spend so much time that all of a sudden you start envying the benefits of an ungodly person. Right? That's what scripture is saying. Don't be jealous of what they don't have because you think they have. No. Don't be envious, right? And here's why scripture tells you not to fret. Because if you fret long enough, it's going to cause you to sin. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't have anxiety. But you know what? That's easier said than done. Right? Because the minute somebody tells you and me, don't worry, guess what we do? We worry. Oh, right? But then scripture says, for they will soon fade, right? They're here today and gone tomorrow, right? But when you have somebody you're struggling with, it's almost like, Lord, when are you going to remove them? When are you going to rip them out like that weed, right? And so God says, don't worry about them. As a matter of fact, scripture would say that if you start to fret, the answer is you should pray for them. That you should love your enemy. That you should invest your time interceding on their behalf. And that's the part that I don't want to do. I don't want to get on my hands and knees and start pulling out those weeds. Right? It's like, God, why did you create this? It's a weed. But guess what? Sometimes the thing I want growing there is another kind of weed. Not that one. Right? 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 It's like whichever way, right? If I talk about green grass, it's like it's not, right? It's right. It's the kind we cut, right? Well, anyway, right? For they will soon fade like the grass and wither, like the green herb. Right? Here's the answer. Trust in the Lord. Right? And when you look at that word trust, another word that you can have there is have faith in the Lord. Right? And trust and faith, you can use either or, but it has some components in it. In order to have faith, in order to trust, right? And one is, right, to be content, right? To be settled. That regardless of what somebody else does, their action is not going to move me because I'm in right relationship with God, right? Sometimes we go to work and there's that one individual that just continues to move up the ladder. And then sometimes you find out that they are getting credit for work you did. Right? And you find yourself like, Lord, this isn't fair. Right? But I need you to remember, right? That's how it is when you're on your hands and knees pulling out weeds. Lord, this time isn't fair, but then there's going to come a day where you step back and you're able to enjoy the garden. Right? Right? To be content. To be in a state of agreement with, right? To trust, to be committed, right? Because when I start weeding, I'm good for 10 minutes, right? And that's where I know, right, that I have not been diagnosed throughout most of my life, right? Because I start weeding and I start thinking, oh, I got to go paint my living room, right? It's like my mind just, right, because I just don't want to do this, right? And let me tell you, I think of different ways of getting rid of it, right? Last year, I got myself a propane torch, right? And it worked, right? It worked. Anything to make that tedious work easier, right? And here's the thing. Sometimes God wants me on my hands and knees. He doesn't want me trying to find the easier, softer way, right? It's because when it's done, I'm able to enjoy it. But then when you step back, it's all glory goes to God, right? For the effort that we get to put in there. Trust in the Lord. And here's the thing, right? And do good, right? So how do you and I do good when all of a sudden there's an evildoer and we think they're getting away with everything? And like I said earlier, we pray for them. Right? We pray, we intercede on their behalf. We pray even though they haven't asked for prayer, right? We pray to do good, right? To dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness, right? To come alongside not only God, but other believers that are going to encourage us. That way we don't feel we're doing this alone. That's why it's important to come together as a church, to share our struggles with one another. This past couple of days, I was with our presbytery, and it's great to be with other individuals that are part of our denomination, and you hear their stories and their struggles, right? And all of a sudden, you find out you're not alone. And all of a sudden, people, whether they're in Vermont or all the way down in Virginia or halfway out across Pennsylvania, they're praying for our church, right? Because of this partnership that we have with them. We're not doing it alone. He calls us to trust in the Lord. And then on the heels of that, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, to enjoy him. And he will give you the desires of your heart, right? So remember, I said this is wisdom literature, right? So what is your desire this morning, right? Oh, Lord, I pray this sermon doesn't go that long. Oof. Oh, Lord, I pray that it gets a little bit warmer later, and it's going to get a little warmer later. Oh, Lord, let me get home so I can get ready for the football game. I hope that congregational meeting doesn't go too long, right? Is that the desire of your heart? Right, and here's the thing. As sinners, we seek other things to fulfill The only thing that God can, and my prayer is that God and God alone would be your desire. That He would be enough for you. And that as you seek Him, you can delight in Him. Right? To be in a relationship with God is He wants the best for you. Right? He wants to bless you. As we heard last week, right? To be in a posture of receiving God's blessing. Last week, I talked about that there's this place of knowing, right? And then as we were leaving, Greg helped to remind me, right, that as much as it's about knowing, it's also about your will, right? What are you willing to do? Right? Because sometimes I know I should be pulling out those weeds, and guess what? I'm inside the house, right? I'm doing other things. And all of a sudden, a week later, the weeds are a little bit taller. There's a little bit more, and I go, huh, these weeds, right? Well, what do you expect? I didn't do anything, right? And sometimes that's how it is with evildoers when I choose not to pray for them because they don't deserve it. But guess what? You and I don't deserve it. We don't deserve this amazing grace that God has extended upon you and me, right? When I stop and take an inventory of my abilities of a sinner, right, it's amazing God would love me. Right? So to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Right? He goes on to say, commit your ways to the Lord, trust Him, there it is, have faith in Him, and He will act. Our God will act. Our God would move. Right? And a lot of times, I misunderstand those verses, right? When I hear God's going to, okay, God, you're going to move, and you're going to remove those weeds, right? You're going to remove that evil one. You're going to take care of him, right, God? And in time, He will. But until then, I have to get on my knees and pull those weeds. And I have to commit to doing that. I have to commit to spending time with Him. I have to commit to getting up every morning and saying, Lord, I need you. Right? I got to trust Him and have faith in Him. Right? And He will act. Right? Because here's the thing. If I'm not in relationship with God, what I think is people are getting away with something, and now I have to say something. I have to do something. I have to act. And guess what God tells me a good majority of time? Lord, He says, Jose, I didn't tell you to do that. Right? And a lot of times I'm receiving the consequences of bad choices that I'm making. Why? Because I took matters into my own hand. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your just as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, right? Most of us, or should I say, well, just me, right? I have a problem waiting. I have a problem in being still. Right? I have a problem in keeping my hands off of the things that God is going to do and the things that God says, okay, Jose, you got to get on your knees and weed. Nope, I don't want to do that. Right? He will bring forth righteousness. I don't have to fight for my righteousness, right? But He's going to bring forth His righteousness upon me, right? Because by His sacrifice upon a Roman cross, when I receive that work, His finished work is imputed upon me and you, right? And also, and this righteousness is wrapped around me. Where all of a sudden, I'm going to do supernaturally what I would not be able to do in my own strength. And sometimes the only thing that I need to do is keep my mouth shut, right? And pray. And if I am going to say something, be willing to share Jesus with that person, right? But sometimes we think it's all about this other stuff that's so more important. And guess what, right? Jesus is the most important thing to this dying world. Amen. Right? Wait patiently. Right? And I don't like waiting. Right? Like I said earlier, this is wisdom literature. Right? It's trying to impart wisdom. Right? Wait patiently for him, the Lord. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his ways, right? Because here's the thing. Here's what God says. What you think is prospering is not prospering, right? As a believer, don't see things through the world's lens. See things the way God sees things. Fret not. Don't worry yourself. Don't worry if they're using you to get ahead. Don't worry. Right? Because they're not going to get away with it. Over the man who carries out evil devices, right? It's sometimes it looks like they're getting ahead. Sometimes it looks like, right? It's I sit with my wife and we pray over different situations, and sometimes the hardest things to pray over is like, Lord, when am I going to see your justice? Right? And really what we're saying is, when are we going to see them get what they have deserving coming to them? Right? It's, come on. It's like, Lord, you need me to encourage you, Lord? Could happen a little faster, right? And here's what God has me on my hands and knees, pulling the weeds one by one. It's like, Lord, come on, hurry up. Right? Because I want to be able to step back and enjoy this beautiful thing. And sometimes, right, it's in the beginning, it isn't beautiful, just like I wasn't beautiful in the beginning. Refrain yourself from anger, right? And forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, right? It's if you leave it to God, eventually God takes care of it, right? But as a believer, God is saying, don't lose yourself in your anger. Don't lose yourself in your fretting. Right? Don't lose yourself in your ability to control something that you think you can't control and you are not controlling it. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. James Montgomery Boyce was a pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He was a pastor, a theologian. Right, and he writes in the Psalms. And what he says is that Scripture sometimes has this progressive revelation. Right, I'll explain. Right, so sometimes in the Old Testament, you have a doctrine, let's say like heaven, but it isn't explained in detail. And then you come to the New Testament, and then we have the full explanation of heaven. Sometimes we have life after death explained very briefly in the Old Testament, and then it's fully explained in the New Testament, right? So it's something that's moving from old to new, right? However, with this particular psalm, It's reverse, right? You have Jesus in Matthew 5:5 saying the meek will inherit the earth, right? But he doesn't explain what that is. But the explanation can be found in the Old Testament in Psalm 37, right here. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at this place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Right here, there's the explanation of what Jesus is referencing in the New Testament, Matthew 5:5, in the Sermon on the Mount, but he doesn't explain it, right? Because we know that when a verse or a portion of the scripture is given, it implies the entirety of the other piece of scripture that's being referenced. So it's good to be meek. And when I say meek, I'm not saying that it's a good posture to be weak. Jesus was not weak, right? He was decisive. He was strong. He was one who gave us a picture of what it is to rely upon the Father. And over and over and over again, what did he give us? A picture of prayer and how prayer brings you to a place of being able to do what God calls you to do. So if you are not a person of prayer, let me encourage you to pray. Seek God. Right? So as we look at this idea of not fretting or fretting, right? Here's another commentator, Christopher Ashe. His book, The Psalms, right? A Christ-centered commentary, right? So he would say that the Psalms is of one place, the promised land. However, it's about two ways of living, right? You can be righteous or you can be wicked. And that's what we're going to see briefly in the other verses that we're just going to just touch very little on, right? Two times, right? There's the presence, and then he says, in a little while. Two responses. One of prosperity of the wicked, or the prosperity of being in relationship with God. Right, so there's this definition for fretting, but I have another one, right? So to fret is to worry or have anxiety. A person might fret over a situation, which means they feel nervous or in trouble about, right? Irritation or agitation. Fretting can also mean becoming upset or agitated about something, especially if it's out of our control, right? And if Mike was here and he's listening in the back, and there's this other phrase of fretting, and that is when the frets of your guitar wear out and you need to replace them, right? But when we look at it through the biblical lens, right, it's about not letting your emotions get the best of you. Our emotions, even though they're God-given, they will lead us astray. Our emotions will tell us after 15, 20 minutes of praying to God that God's not listening, right? That's what our emotions would do, right? And they will deceive us. And it's only through the persistence of praying, even when you don't want to pray, just like pulling out those weeds and you don't think you're getting ahead, right? And all of a sudden what you find, you read a book and they tell you about weeding. Well, if you keep weeding, what happens is you start ripping out those roots underneath and eventually it stops, to my surprise, right? If I'm persistent. And here's the thing, right? I'm also a sloth at times. I don't want to do it, right? And part of your life and my life, we just need to be honest with ourselves, right? I don't want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do it. But now as we summarize, right, the rest of these chapters, if you go from verses 12 through 22, in the end, here's what it is. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you should pity the wicked. You should have pity on them. And here's the thing. And if you're going to have pity, pray for them, right? Because when you start reading God's word, right, here's what it says throughout the whole thing, right? And I'm just going to read the end of certain verses, right? It says in verse 9, for the evildoer shall be cut off, right? He will cut them off. The day is coming where they will be cut off. He's going to do it. He's going to cut them off. He's going to remove them over and over and over again, right? So as you and I have faith and trust in God, it's to believe he will do what he said he will do, right? You know, sometimes we reflect on life and, right, and little by little, right, this body is going to return back to the ground. And that's going to be difficult and painful, and people are going to grieve, right? But here's what's going to be even more painful. And if I don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior, God is going to judge me, right? It's like, if you think death is bad enough, can you imagine what the wrath of God would be if I don't have Jesus, right? It's hard to even imagine. We think this thing is bad enough, and what Scripture says, that's going to be a cakewalk. So when I look at those individuals that are trying to get ahead and they're using me as a stepping stool, right, it's like, Lord, I pity them. Lord, may they come to a saving knowledge of who you are. And then the rest of the verses remind me, right, that God protects the righteous, right? So if I want to be in a place that God's protection is upon me, then I need to be in the right place with Jesus. Because if I'm not, then I'm trying to protect myself, and then I have to ask the question, well, who am I trusting in, right? The people that look like they're getting away with it know one thing. They are not. They're not. And it ends with this. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. Right? He's your fortress. He is that bulwark that's going to protect you, right? Nothing's going to come against you. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him, right? He's our God. He's our Lord. He's the one that we come and we worship, right? When there's trouble, we worship. When there's things to be rejoicing over, we worship. When things come against us, we worship, right? It's everything that triggers life to happen, we should be worshiping. right? Because this is what it reminds us, right? He is our God, right? People in the way they should go and protect those who please him, right? This, are your actions pleasing him, right? Lord, I don't want to be picking these weeds, but you know what, Lord, this is what you've given me. And you know what? I'm going to do it to your glory, to your honor. And you know what? I don't see it yet, Lord. But your word says that if I keep doing what you have called me to do, I am going to be able to enjoy it. And Lord, help me just to be grateful that I'm doing this right now, even though my back hurts, my fingernails are dirty. And yep, those weeds just keep coming. Help me, Lord, right? And all of a sudden, one day, you step back and you go, wow. And you know when it's the best? When you have company over your house and they go, look at this place. Look how beautiful it is. Look at those plants. Look at those trees, right? And all of a sudden, right? You could do one of the two things, right? Is you can say, thank you, Lord. Or you can take the credit and miss a blessing that God has for you. That's what it is to be in relationship with God. And that's what the Psalms provide, right? It provides wisdom, so that we know how to interact with this world that's fallen. It gives us the tools of how to pray and seek him. It helps us to be, what scripture says, at times the lifter of our head so we are not let down, right? But that he and he alone is our encourager, because he will not let you down. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for all that you have provided for us. We are grateful that you are our protector. We thank you that you are a God we can trust, that you are our righteousness. And Lord, help us. Help us to do the things you've called us to do, even though at times it feels difficult. It feels as if we're not getting ahead. Lord, give us the strength and courage to press forward, trusting you. We thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.